Tonight we're looking at Isaiah 49, just a couple of verses, but there's a lot here, and we're going to barely scratch the surface. But would you give your attention here to the Lord's word, his inerrant and infallible word. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God hath become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Indeed, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. May he add his blessing to it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have had your word read over us. We've sung songs in response. We've had music wash over us. Lord, now we need your spirit to be with us as we look at your word just for a few minutes. May we again be struck by the beauty of our Savior. May we be struck to the core of what you have done for us. And may that change us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, I've been working through Isaiah chapter 42, and if they've been here all 3 weeks, you would know that we've been seeing a lot of what God is saying. There's been a lot of speeches by the Father speaking about his son to the bride, and the Father speaking to his son, the servant, talking about his mission, calling him into it, telling him what he is going to do. It's like we've been brought into this divine conversation. Absolutely amazing. Almost brought into eternity that we might hear the Father and the Son speak. Something we haven't heard yet, but shows up here in our passage, is the Son speaks. Did you notice that? The servant here is the one who is talking. And that's a fitting time. Tonight we are celebrating the baby in the manger. Christ has come. In this passage, Jesus is speaking 700 years before he would come. It would seem this is the pre-incarnate Christ speaking to us in some way and telling us what his Father has said to him. And there's really only two things that we're going to look at. He's going to tell us something specific or interesting and specific about his mission, about his task. Here's what I've come to do. And then the second thing he's going to tell us is about the scope of his task. And both are wonderful. So look at verse 5. This is where we see the specific thing about his task that he wants us to hear. It says, and now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Did you see the reference? See the incarnation right there? The one who formed me in the womb. My Father is speaking to bring Jacob back to him and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord and my God has become my strength. What's the task? What's the task that the servant has been given? To bring back the people of Israel, to bring back Jacob, to gather them up and bring them back to God. Who's Israel? Who's this Jacob? You know, historically, you could think about this in the time of the exile when they're in Babylon or in Assyria. You could see how he's saying you're going to go into those foreign nations and bring them out. There's an angle there. But if you think about this in a broader context, what he's really talking about here, he's talking about those who have sinned against the Lord. Those who have rebelled against him. Those who have had their relationship with the Lord, in a sense, severed, broken. And you need to bring them back into fellowship. We need to be reconciled. You know, when two people have strife and they have issues, they'll sit down and talk about it. And they might even have somebody there with them. This is not a therapy session for two people to sit down who are sort of equals to come to terms with this. It's going to take more than just a conversation between God and his people. God's people are in rebellion. They've turned away from him, and they are incapable of doing anything to fix the relationship with God. And so he says, your job is to go and bring them back to me. The ones I love. The ones I've loved from all eternity in that sense. And the Lord has told his servant about these people. They have corrupted hearts. They don't see very well. They're blind. They're stuck in darkness. We've seen it throughout the readings tonight. You've seen it in Isaiah 42. They're in dungeons. They're in prison. There's nothing they can do. You're going to have to go and guide them. You're going to have to go and get them. These people need you. They need a light. And they're blind as can be. And what it's going to require of you is you, the servant, you're going to have to go all the way to them. You're going to have to descend into death to bring them out of death. They're in spiritual darkness and in spiritual death, leading them to physical and ultimate death. And you're going to have to descend into that and carry them on your shoulders out. That's your job as the servant. And do you see this, that all of us who have been reconciled to Christ, all of us who know him by grace through faith, he has done this for you. He sent his servant to come and do it, and now he has done it. You're no longer in the dungeon. You're no longer in the prison. You're no longer blind in this way. You no longer have to fear death. He came to give you second birth. This has been done for you. The servant's work is done. The ultimate is still coming. But I wonder if there are some here who have not been reconciled to God, who do not know the servant we're talking about here. He makes the same offer to everyone here, that those who turn to him in faith and repentance, this is his work for you. No fear of death, forgiveness of sins, broken the bonds of your slavery to the dominion of sin in your life, the darkness and the prison you live in, he'll carry you right out of it as he shines his light to you. That's his promise to anyone. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter who you are. It's for everywhere, everyone, and everywhere. And that's really what the second point is all about. The scope of his task. That's the specific work that he's doing. What's the scope of it? Did you see this? Look at verse 6. He says, now the Lord is speaking to the servant here. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Do you see the heart of the Lord for the lost? For his image bearers who are stuck in darkness? Do you see his heart right there? Did you notice? He says it's too small. If we're not just going to save a little nation. That's actually too small for you. You know what that means? It's too insignificant. It means it's not comparable to the glory of who you are. We're going to do so much more than that. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about, I want my banquet hall filled. I want the guest list for the marriage supper of the Lamb to be huge. I want us to run out of chairs in that sense. We're not saving just this little section. Your glory is going to go throughout the earth, and my gospel is going to go out and we're going to save people all over the world. You're a light to the nations. But I don't want you to think of this as something new. This has been planned from the beginning. If we go back and we could read some of the things we saw already tonight. Promise to Abraham, you will be a blessing to the nations. That was always the plan. This is nothing new. And here's the thing. If there is no light to the nations, you cannot be saved. If God does not do this, you remain in darkness. It's not just Israel. We're going to the whole world. Let me put this in context a little bit. It's like he said something like this. We're not just going to go save Abraham. We're not just going to go save Daniel. We're not just going to go save Isaiah. That's not all who's going to be. Here's what I want you to do, servant Jesus. I want you to go. I want you to get Walt. I want you to get Suzanne. I want you to get Camden. I want you to get Paul. I want you to get Fran. I want you to get them. These are my people. And I want you to bring them back to me. Gather them to me. That my salvation, notice, it's my salvation, the Lord's salvation, would extend to the earth. You know what that means? That the knowledge of who I am, the glory of who I am, would extend around the world, that all would see it. Isn't it fascinating thinking about this passage? Y'all know where Israel is? It's not close. It's on the other side of the world, basically. It's like 6,000 miles from Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh looks somewhat like Israel. The light has gone far beyond Israel. He's here tonight, saving his people. It doesn't mean everyone has been evangelized. It doesn't mean the gospel's gone to every corner and everybody's heard. But it has expanded around the world. That there, God has his people everywhere. And what we're celebrating is the night when the light entered the world. It was a little over 2,000 years ago. That the light for the nations came and entered the world and now has spread throughout. Can you believe that? Can you believe that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? That he calls you by name? You're stuck where it says nations, that's you. A light for my people in Pittsburgh, of all places. They even save people in Texas. He does that. The light has come. Do you know him? Has he shined his light in your heart? I pray that's the case for you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for this incredible text where we hear the words of Jesus, where we hear him talk of how you, the Father, have given him this mission, and it's going to be huge. And Lord, we're included in it. It's amazing. We are living out Isaiah 49, verses 5 and 6, because your servant has come to save those in darkness. Lord, may we continually give our hearts to you. If there are those here who would never have, Lord, I pray even now that your Spirit would do a mighty work in them to open the eyes of the blind, that they might see the glory and the beauty of Jesus, and for the first time, see him for who he is, respond to him. May you do that even now. It's in your Son's great name we do pray. Amen.